Sponsorship of this KQED podcast is provided by San Francisco State University's graduate business programs offering 5 accredited advanced degrees. The SF State MBA, rigorous, real-world, respected, open house schedule, and more information at mba.sfsu.edu.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. The Los Angeles Unified School District will report all teachers accused of misconduct to the State Credentialing Commission. That's the promise of Superintendent John Dacey, struggling to manage the expanding fallout from an alleged child sex abuse scandal at Miramonte Elementary. Given how big the LAUSD is, hundreds of teachers investigated for everything from allegations of sexual abuse to excessive absenteeism will have their cases added to the pile in Sacramento. The Los Angeles Times notes Dacey announced the policy a day after it reported on a substitute teacher who resigned from LA Unified in the wake of 3 sexual abuse investigations, then applied for and landed a job in the Inglewood school system, where he was later accused of sexually assaulting another student.
Tabulate the vote.
14 ayes.
In a unanimous vote yesterday, the Los Angeles City Council gave preliminary approval to a plan to change city truancy laws, taking a less punitive approach to students who skip school or arrive late. Councilman Tony Cardenas hashed out the change with a number of interested parties, ranging from LA's police chief to the president of the Board of Education.
Young people, this is not a permission slip to be late. There are still are consequences. However, instead of purely punishing, like the current system, we will be there for you.
Under the old policy, a student who got a truancy ticket had to appear in court with a parent. Under the new system, fines for first and second violations would be waived, and schools would have to work with students to improve their attendance. The fine for a third violation would be capped at $155, down from more than $1,000. Our LA Bureau Chief explored this sea change for the state's biggest school district in a feature yesterday. It's posted on our website, californiareport.org. California's community college chancellor is warning the system faces a third round of budget cuts this year because it looks like the system's deficit is $149 million bigger than previously estimated. Chancellor Jack Scott explains there are a couple of reasons. One, lower than expected property tax revenues. Two, rising demand for student fee waivers.
A lot of our students, because of the recession, qualify for what we call the Board of Governors waiver. That's one reason our fee revenue is down, because these students, they don't pay tuition.
The shortfall comes on top of a $400 million reduction in state funding for the current fiscal year and a $100 million mid-year cut triggered when state revenues fell below projections. Both sides are claiming victory in the wake of the U.S. Supreme Court's decision yesterday to allow medical providers to continue suing to stop cuts to Medi-Cal. Officials in the finance department say the state will continue paying the higher reimbursement rates in the meantime. Medi-Cal is one of California's biggest expenses. The state is spending $15.4 billion this year to provide health care to 7.6 million of the state's poor and disabled residents. A trio of tax proposals vying for a space on the November ballot each promised to tackle the state's systemic budget troubles. Reform advocates argued the choice for voters will be simple. But there's nothing simple about the state budget or the ways in which each proposal would rejigger it. Fortunately, we have the California Report's Sacramento Bureau Chief John Myers to dig into the fine print and offer a measure of clarity.
This week, education activist Molly Munger begins gathering voter signatures for her tax increase initiative. Taxes are historically a tough sell in California, but Munger, a wealthy Pasadena attorney, recently told reporters this one is different.
We have a message that is pretty simple and pretty powerful, which is real money for kids directly to their school. You can see it, you can count it, you can be sure it gets there.
The initiative would proportionally raise state income taxes on almost all Californians. The money could not be touched by legislators in Sacramento and thus would not be part of the annual state budget drama. But the initiative would influence that drama if it wins and Governor Jerry Brown's own tax proposal loses on November 6th. That's because the governor's proposal does more than just raise taxes. It also codifies a complicated plan to pay for the transfer of state programs to county governments. If his measure goes down on Election Day, the projected state budget deficit goes up by $2 billion.
It's mind-boggling, the complexity. You need a whole team of lawyers to tell you how the pieces fit together.
Gene Ross is executive director of the California Budget Project, a nonprofit that advocates for programs aimed at the lower and middle class. She says the budget hole would also widen under another tax increase initiative, one to raise income taxes on millionaires.
You have ballot measures that on the face of them strive to achieve a particular policy goal, but when you fit them into the existing structure, they cause problems in unintended ways.
The state budget deficit impact from both tax increase initiatives could, in effect, mean new spending cuts, even while the campaigns promised the taxes will restore cuts from years past. Supporters do not dispute that analysis, but do disagree with the conclusion. The campaign to raise taxes on almost everyone and earmark the money for schools points out it also provides some temporary state budget relief. Carol Kokovar is president of the State Parent Teachers Association.
One of the things in this initiative is that in the first 4 years, 30% of the money, about $3 billion, is being used to pay for state education bond debt.
And that, says Kokovar, means the tax increase initiative will free up state budget dollars to use for other programs. Meantime, supporters of the millionaire's tax believe the gimmicks used by lawmakers in Sacramento in 2011 to balance the budget could always be used again. Jeff Freitas is with the California Federation of Teachers, the backers of the millionaire's tax.
They often craft, I hate to use the term, but smoke and mirrors to be able to fund and to fill the deficit that they feel that they need to fill.
But the millionaire's tax itself could fall victim to that same kind of budget gimmickry. In particular, the initiative does not prohibit a raid of the tax dollars it raises for higher education. The campaign promises as much as $700 million for the UC and CSU systems, but those dollars could be diverted by legislators. Of course, there'd be a political price to pay for such an action, but the budget process in California has become full of pitfalls, says Gene Ross of the California Budget Project.
It's unrealistic to even expect the most responsible voters, and I think we have responsible voters in California, to understand the implications of policy choices that are presented to them in 30-second TV commercials.
Even so, at this point, all three tax increase initiatives, the two pushed by education advocates and the one pushed by the governor, appear destined for the ballot box and the voters this fall. For the California Report, I'm John Myers in Sacramento.
That's the California Report for Thursday, February 23rd, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Wesley Foundation, improving the lives of California's children. The California Healthcare Foundation, supporting efforts to respect the wishes of patients at the end of their lives. On the web at chcf.org. And URS Corporation, a global engineering and construction firm headquartered in San Francisco, providing engineering, construction, and technical services to public agencies and private companies. URScorp.com.